Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Yeah. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the truth of your word that does indeed enable us to know how to live out our lives and how to and respond to the issues of the day. Yeah, to do so with grace and with truth. So I just ask again just for your special wisdom as we go over this material together. And may you use it to equip us, again, to as we bear witness, as we seek to be lights in this world. So this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, my. Okay. I close my eyes and I open them up, and there we go. Well, there is a handout that will just give you the basic points of what we'll be talking about. Our topic is radical gender ideology. And I'm going to begin by just giving you what I'm going to cover and then going into depth over each of the major areas. The distortion of God's created order, and I want to approach it in looking at three aspects of it. First of all, how there is a significant distorting of God's created order in our day, in our culture, and how we do have the responsibility of defending God's created order, but yet as we do so, to display grace, but at the same time holding on to the truth and sharing the truth. So, distorting God's created order, considering what is happening in our day. Once upon a time, binary was a mathematical term, but now it's actually an insult. If somebody calls you binary, they're putting you on par with racist, sexist, homophobic. It's deployed as a weapon in our culture wars. And the enemy on this particular battleground is anyone who maintains that there are men and there are women, and that the difference between them is fundamental. And there's a lot of significant, even semantic antics going on in how the matter is being presented and discussed. And so I'm going to go over some of perhaps terms that you've heard tossed around. Non-binary, an umbrella term, they say, so for a person who identifies with something other than male or female. But it gets more complex than that. You know, we have the traditional male and female symbols, but in between you see an infinity symbol, meaning that in between, so fluid that there can be an infinity, ultimately, ways that one considers it and identify oneself as. Some of these images are used. This is 6 years ago. This is National Geographic magazine. Devoted a whole issue to the gender revolution. And you can see the tagline. And this little girl, who we will say is actually a little boy, but who says the best thing about being a girl is now I don't have to pretend to be a boy. And an entire issue, probably in the attic of your mother and grandparents and everything, there might be a whole stack of National Geographic magazine that was just about every home. Gender definitions now abound and are required sometimes in some school settings and corporate work settings to become familiar, you know, with all of this. Now, can you cite a difference between gender, transgender, cisgender, non-binary, gender fluid, gender queer? And that's just the beginning of it. And here is what used to be even a simple alphabet of LGBT has become LGBTQQIAAPN. That's just the beginning of it. It can go much further than that. And right at the middle, you see the Q for queer, and that used to be a pejorative, but now it's embraced. Most who identify along this whole gender fluidity matter consider themselves and will label themselves as, first of all, being queer, and the definition here is an umbrella term to be more inclusive of the many identities and variations that make up the LGBTQ plus community. And the plus means plus, 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 and so on. And the A is also significant. Here, it stands for ally. And ally is typically a non-queer person who supports and advocates for the queer community, an individual within the R, an individual within the LGBTQ plus community that's an ally for another member that identifies a little bit differently than one's own way. So at one time, you know, in trying to be full of grace and truth, you know, we could accept someone and respect and treat them with dignity and everything, even though there will be differences in how we perceive, how they perceive, you know, themselves. But that's not enough. It's demanded now that not only that you accept, but that you affirm, and not simply that you affirm, but that you applaud. And not only that you applaud, but that you are an ally, an activist, you know, on behalf of the whole community. And that's in the workplace, that's in the schools, and that's everywhere. Even as you go shopping, you know, now, and what you are exposed to there. June is going to be Pride Month. And there is a controversy, you know, going on now, and a backlash that's causing some corporations to wonder in a panic now. What should they do? An example is Target, you know, just this past week. Target for the last 10 years has had displays during Pride Month, but they've become more and more bold to making it front and center and large displays with LGBTQ clothing for children. And now with the backlash of Anheuser-Busch and Dylan McVaney, what has happened there, they're fearful now, but they don't know quite what to do. You're probably familiar, just for the last 6 weeks or so, you know, the whole Anheuser-Busch and Dylan McVaney situation there. And at this moment, every day, I have a news feed that I look at every morning. And every morning, there's one or more articles devoted to this whole issue, either supportive or critiquing in some manner. And Anheuser-Busch, as of this week, has lost 28% of its income compared, you know, to last year, you know, too. And that's why Target is very concerned, you know, now as well, and others. But the thing is, gender ideology, I'm going to go through the various areas where it is very much front and center. It is very much front and center in the whole realm of the schools, you know, at this time. And this is not just in high school or in junior high. It's in the elementary schools and even in the preschools as well. These are some of the tools that are being used, you know, to indoctrinate, basically, children into this whole matter. This is the gender bear, and shows and divides, you know, gender identity, sexual orientation, sex, and gender expression, and it's designed to be shared with children, with young children, even preschoolers, too. It's not just the gender bear, it's the gender-bred person, you know, as well. And it's not just a gender-bred person, it's the gender unicorn, you know, that is used. My granddaughter loves, you know, unicorns and colors and everything. So you can see how, again, this will be designed to prepare and indoctrinate children. And now, within the schools, many schools, there's a Transgender Awareness Week, or is celebrating Transgender Awareness Week. The whole matter of pronouns is being presented in many schools. And if you use a wrong pronoun, even if a child identifies themselves with a certain set of pronouns, and another child will not address them by those pronouns, some children have been expelled from their schools for simply using the wrong pronouns, too. And yet, the matter of pronouns, I don't know if you've had to deal, any of you, you know, with that in your particular, you know, areas or workplace, but, you know, I have a close friend, you know, that works for a corporation, and he's had to go through diversity, equity, inclusion training, learning to use the proper pronouns in the workplace. But note though, it says, note that these are not the only pronouns. There are an infinite number of pronouns. As new ones emerge in our language, always ask someone for their pronouns. Now, I'm used to charts and everything, but even, no, I could never remember this and to remember to use the proper pronouns for someone. Should I refer to them as they or them, theirs or themselves, or as ze, here, zer, hears, zers, or herself, you know, zer self, too? And there are many more on top of that, too. And again, parents, you know, encourage, you know, to not impose any firm sense of gender, but to on their children. And there's an encouragement now to do away with reveal, you know, gender reveal parties, because you are, again, being binary, and it's not good, you know, to be binary, too. So if a child, you know, indicates a certain preference for a certain mode of dress, you immediately, you know, affirm that and support that. And the school needs to honor that, and the other children need to affirm that as well, too. Again, schools having Transgender Day of Visibility there. And there's a whole matter of the drag queen story hour, and a great number of libraries and sponsor these or allow their facilities to be used for drag queen story hours. Again, influencing their small children as well, too. So that's in the educational front. And then we go further into gender ideology in medicine. And the medical community is moving in many medical centers. I've already moved to a gender affirmative model of care. And again, terminology is everything, but this is a euphemistic way of saying that you go to three levels. You know, with very young children, you just help them socially transition, determining for themselves what their pronouns are and how you might encourage them to be wearing dresses or wearing, wearing clothing of the opposite gender, you know, we will say, but you just socially affirm all of that. But this is just for young children. Once they approach the age of puberty, then that's where puberty blockers can begin to be used. And also, the injections of testosterone or in the case of those of girls that want to be boys, or the other hormones, progesterone and estrogen for going the other way. And many medical children medical centers are doing that. In the news recently has been the Houston Children's Medical Center. They were told by the state not to engage in this actual puberty blockers and everything, and they said they wouldn't do it, but they persisted in doing it. And so that is being litigated, you know, at this time in the state of Texas. Governor Abbott is about to sign a law, you know, prohibiting that kind of chemical or and then even surgical interventions in children and in youth. The state of Florida has, 14 other states have, but other states like Massachusetts and California are going the other way. And there's a law that's about to be passed in the Massachusetts legislature saying that if a child wants to begin to transition and parents resist that and oppose that, that Child Protective Services can remove the children from their home. And again, this is where it's an amazing, you know, battleground that has developed. I'll come back to that. I need to hurry through. But this is from the Minnesota Children's Hospital there, and the person in charge is a transgendered person. But what I've described to you, this was a major article that I just read this last week out of Newsweek, and very positively affirming, you know, what she was doing. But what I've said here, social transition, interventions using puberty blockers and hormone treatments, and then actual surgery, too. But this whole medical, the children's pediatric community there is supportive fully of that and celebrated for that too. Now I'll come back to this, you know, the whole matter of gender dysphoria. But I want to talk a little bit about gender ideology in government, to how that is being approached. And I already mentioned the states, you know, that are trying to block this or trying to be fully supportive of this. And of course, some of you may have, you know, read of Sam Brenton, and he was supposed to be in charge of all of the nuclear disposal in this country. Unless, until it was found out that he had been stealing suitcases from the airports and finding all these wonderful, you know, dresses and to wear, you know, so she was fired, or he was, you know, fired from the position, and had to go to criminal proceeding for theft for two charges on two different occasions, and went was just to be monitored. But even after being found guilty and thing, ended up last week going to another airport and stealing another suitcase of women's clothing, too. HR issues, I mentioned as well. the vast majority of corporations, you know, today require training in being, again, affirmative. Again, my friend who works for a corporation, you know, had to decline wearing, you know, the special flag, you know, rainbow flag buttons and everything. And at this point did not have any repercussions, you know, for that. But in some places there can be if you don't. The whole matter of athletes, you know, as well. You know, Title IX was supposed to protect women's sports, you know, too. But our president is about ready to sign saying that Title IX is supposed to protect transgendered people, so no sports could prohibit in that. But that's very much in flux, you know, now. How do you deal? This is Tia Thomas and I forgot her name, Heidi, who's taking a really stand and making a really, you know, impact. But again, Tia in men's swimming, you know, was something like ranked 567, you know, or something. When he started competing as she in women's swimming, won, and she came in second, you know, to that. You might remember the famous picture. You know, she's wearing her cowboy bat. She's on the second podium and just kind of in shock, you know, looking at what had happened, you know, to her. It's hitting churches, you know, certainly, and all across the board. Again, in the news this week concerning the United Methodist Church, they've decided to allow churches that don't agree with their full inclusion policy to leave the Methodist Church with their property. 2,500 churches did so just this past year. That's 10% of the entire number of churches in the United Methodist Church. Now that they're fully able to leave with their property, it's increasing, but that's happening again in so many places. So with that, again, I'm going to have to move very quickly and just forget my notes here. So we'll get through. I still have, what, about 10 minutes, maybe more, you know, too. Defending God's created order, I think. Here we can move quickly because I don't think I have to convince you, you know, of what the Word of God, you know, says. Does speak of a gendered humanity, male and female. Genesis 1:27, male and female, he created them. In Genesis 1:27, and then Jesus, you know, reaffirming that, he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" And then goes on to then talk about Genesis 2:28. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife; the two shall become one flesh." So and all three, you know, synoptic gospels, you know, record Jesus' word to that effect. Psalm 139, I think, applies to that. "For you created my innermost being; you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I will praise you. And children are such a heritage from the Lord." Jesus says, you know, "Permit the children to come to me." And he says, you know, don't hurt, you know, these little ones. You know, if you hurt them, you know, it would be better. Of course, he's using symbolic thing that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be cast into the sea too. The incarnation itself was, you know, involved a woman with a man in her womb. Jesus was created, became a human being as a man, though. There's a witness of nature Nature itself teaches us of a gendered humanity. Of course, normally we think of a woman XX, a man XY. That's our very genetic makeup. And 23 pairs of human chromosomes, 22 pairs of autosomes, and one pair of sex chromosomes. Females have two X, males have one X and one Y. The Y has the sex-determining region that forms early on in gestation, too. But it's not just that. It's not just the genitalia that reveals, you know, what we are. Every single cell in the human body is an XX or, you know, XY. You know, doing surgery does not change that. You know, using hormone treatments or puberty blockers does not change that reality. Yeah. And males and females have numerous physical differences beyond just reproductive anatomy. And again, small samples. You know, men, higher testosterone, women, higher estrogen, progesterone. In men, the food tends to be converted to muscle, in women, to fat. And fat is good. You know, actually, that's, if you lack in, a woman lacks in fat, then that probably affects fertility, you know, to a great degree, you know, as well. Men have more red blood cells and clotting factors. Women have more white blood cell. And you can imagine the reason for that. You know, white blood cell gives you a greater, you know, protection against disease and everything. Yet red blood cell and clotting factors give you, you know, greater things for greater physical activity and all, you know, too. And that's just a few. You know, it goes way beyond that. And I think God's creation, you know, reflects, you know, his character and his and what he intends, you know, too. I'll move quickly to some of the things. My purpose in some of this is to show how our Bill of Rights does give us the right, you know, to petition our government in the issues that we care about, and protecting freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press and assembly and petition. But all of these freedoms under the First, you know, Amendment, you know, of the Bill of Rights are being threatened today, and in some states are being significantly curtailed. You know, too. The whole matter of gender dysphoria today. Just a few things I like to say there is in the last just a couple years there has been a 900% increase in young girls identifying as boys. And sometimes they go together in small groups of 6, 7, or 8 to the local Planned Parenthood to receive puberty blockers and other things, contrary to or unbeknownst, you know, to their parents, you know, too. So what's happening, there's a social contagion that is occurring, and internet exposure. And oftentimes, those who suffer from gender dysphoria do have adverse childhood experiences, some trauma, sexual abuse, and everything that affects, that has affected that as well, you know, too. But all of this is being encouraged, and sometimes contrary or against the knowledge of parents, too. And interestingly, there's a significant number of some who have transitioned as teenagers and gone into adulthood then with regret and have started de-transitioning. And there's a great number of them. There's tens of thousands, actually, from the latest statistics that I've heard. But they are being vilified and they are being marginalized in many ways. And they said they wished that, you know, this whole thing hadn't been going on. And you can find websites even devoted by to, you know, to that, you know. And if you want more information, for the most recent information, Christopher Ruffo of the Manhattan Institute is developing a great deal of material and to freedom of information requests and everything. He's gotten all kinds of incredible, you know, information. Governor DeSantis of Florida works together, you know, with him in what they're doing in that state. I'd like to end with just a matter of displaying grace and truth, though. Because this matter, and the reason I'm addressing it now is I've come to the conclusion that the issue is not a battle that we can ignore or sit out. It's been brought to our homes, our children, our communities, you know, our churches. And we need to answer it and challenge it with the truth of what it means to be male and female. As I mentioned, I have a little granddaughter who's 4 and a half. She's going to go to kindergarten next year. I have a grandson who's 2 and a half. And some places, my little granddaughter in kindergarten will be taught to use the proper pronouns and have to understand the gender unicorn. That too. But how do we approach it, though, with grace and truth? Which is how, of course, Jesus coming into the world, full of grace and truth. And at the same time, another verse I think is important. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, you know, live at peace with everyone. But today, sometimes, it's not possible. You know, we have to, if we can't influence school boards and, you know, schools and petition, you know, our governments, local, state level, national level, we to do so peaceably, but still stand there. Closing was just, again, grace and truth. Some things that this is just a number of things that I've reflected upon. We do respond to everyone with grace. As far as it depends upon us, we seek to live at peace with everyone. We share the message of life without discrimination. You know, anyone can believe and have everlasting life. And we share it to them as they are, you know, without requiring that they on the spot, you know, repent and change and all of that. Yet, we promote the protection of children and adults from any form of bullying, either whether you agree or disagree. You know, there should be no bullying, you know, of anyone for any reason. No matter what they claim their sexual identity to be, or whether they have transitioned in some ways or not, there's to never be, you know, any bullying of any sort. Yet we ought to raise our minor children in accordance with our biblical values and protect our minor children from indoctrination. But yet, what do we do with adult children? And we express love and acceptance towards all of our adult children. But love and acceptance do not mean validation and celebration. As far as it may depend on us, we remain connected and involved in each other's lives. And again, close friends of ours, you know, through the years, they have four adult daughters, two One of the daughters, you know, came out as gay, got involved in a gay relationship. And throughout all that, they remained connected with them, you know, visited with them in their household and everything. But then they decided to get married. And our friends did not attend the wedding ceremony. And their daughter has totally cut them off. Not to their liking. In fact, they attended the funeral just this last year of a relative, and their daughter came to that. It was the first time in 7 years they had seen her. And the daughter totally disregarded them, did not come to greet them or anything. But as far as it depends upon us, we remain involved. To the church, we welcome everyone to public church gatherings, but we limit spiritual service in the church gathering to those who share our spiritual beliefs, our biblical beliefs and values. But yet, still, the gender issue is not a battle. Believers can simply choose to ignore or sit out. It has been brought to our homes, to our children, to our communities. We need to answer and challenge it with the truth of what it means to be male and female. You know. So grace and truth. You know. I don't know how much time there is, but it's just time for one or two questions. Here. Go ahead.
Do you see in your mention about government, influencing government, what about communist, socialist, atheist agenda that is to really divide our society?
Right. Oh, yeah, this is whether it's critical race theory or radical gender ideology, there is an intent on some that of totally deconstructing and causing chaos and then starting leveling everything and building up, you know, to more of an arc. It used to be that the whole Marxist dealt with, with the bourgeoisie and the elite and the proletariat. It was more of a class distinction, but now it's moved into being really more using race and using, you know, gender ideology, you know, to divide, certainly. Go ahead.
I had a nephew who was extremely confused.
Yeah.
And the difficulties with that is he's in California, but I would love to try to build relations to try to help him understand that it's very, very difficult. Also, when you have children or grandchildren or things like that, it's like you really don't want them around because you don't want that confusion in your children or grandchildren. So, I mean, I see it. Like you said, it causes there's a lot of division, very hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Even if you want to deal with it with more grace.
Yeah. In some cases, but it's interesting, even some of the people that were involved more in the former, you know, with the gay movement in its early years or everything, see problems, you know, with all, you know, all of this. Even some transgender people such as Bruce Jenner, who's Caitlyn Jenner, you know, she's totally against, you know, the transgender people being involved in sports, you know, of the opposite sex, or in children being taught or influenced. She's, you know, she is, you know, sees it as an adult, you know, thing, not a child, you know, thing. And so it's divided on this. The homosexual community is divided.
Some homosexual group against groomers.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are some of them that have some.
Yeah, too. But yeah, but again, it's, with grace and love, but knowing with grace and truth, but the grace may be totally resisted, you know, as well, and all. And I have several examples, just even in our small church, you know, community, where families are having to deal with this, and where to take a firm stand, and not. It's difficult.
Praise God for people that have come out. Some of you may know of Laura Perry of Oklahoma. She was able to go to the legislature of Arkansas, and they grilled her for 8 hours at ACLU, and she's transitioned back, and he actually got married to a man. Yeah. And you know what she said? She was raised in a Christian home. She listened to Christian radio all the time she was living and had been mutilated and took the drugs, living as a man. And God's word opened her eyes when she came back, and now and she's able to speak all over the place. And her husband's involved in ministry.
Yeah, that's great. And again, using the freedom, to petition and the government and everything. I think we're at the stage where we have to do that boldly and all.
Okay. A resource that has really helped me kind of work through a lot of this stuff too is she's an author and she does podcasts, Julie Slattery. She does a podcast, Java with Julie, and she just has a wonderful perspective on any type of sexual issue, and she does a lot of gender stuff, and she's written a really good book. I just read one of her books there. That has really, really helped me.
Oh, great. If anybody's interested, you maybe want to jot down, the name and the website. Okay, and I probably need to let the next group in, too. So, yes, we'll have one more. Ah, absolutely. So we can go on a little bit? Okay, because I like to hear you. It's not so much my answering questions. I know you all bring so much, to it. So, go ahead.
Do you think the mass media is censoring detransitioning?
Absolutely. They contradict the narrative, and they are, like I said, they're being marginalized, the media is making it sound like, we're just talking about 5-6 people, but the figure I heard was this one detransitioner, has a great following of 45,000 other detransitioners. So there are a massive number of people that do come and regret it, but they're not making studies, certainly to track that and all. And the media, for the most part, see that as being bigoted, to even even bring up the truth of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nebraska made the news in the last week with passing you have to do 19 before
you can get a surgery or use one. Well, to oppose this, it's not all, but there's a significant number that are resorting to violence, for that, right. And I think in the school shooting that was, I forgot which one it was, a couple of years, Memphis, too. Yes. Well, Disney has been introducing gay characters in their children's movies, too.
You go, where's the gay person going to show up? So I think that everybody should be very aware and not to patronize or expose their young children.
Yeah.
Been like, oh, there's nothing in that. It's a Disney movie. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not now. But, I mean, my kids are in an age where they love PBS, too.
Yeah.
At one point, I would have said I could sit them in front of a PBS show, no matter what it was, and I wouldn't have had a problem because they didn't really take a stand one way or the other on it, at least not in the children's programming. There are multiple cartoons on there now that have gay characters. This child has two moms. This, you know, teddy bear has two dads, whatever it is. So just don't assume anything. Please watch what your kids and grandkids are watching.
Let me add to that. There are shows that they have changed. Wholesome shows that when my daughters were watching, they're great.
Yes.
They turned one of those on with one of my grandkids, and they were like, because they changed them. So you assume, because you grew up with them in mind, that they're no longer the same wholesome cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Sesame Street's a good example of that. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good example.
Pinkalicious. Yes, Arthur's teacher got married to a man.
Yep.
Yes. I'm seeing this is still shocking. There's some newer shows now that, you know, they're all animal based. Well, one of the kangaroos or whatever it is has two moms, and I was watching it the other day, and luckily my 3-year-old was watching, not my 5-year-old, because my 5-year-old would have caught it. But this lady, one of the kids asked a question, and this lady said, "Oh, well, why don't you go ask my wife that question?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" You know, like, nothing is safe right now.
And so, how do we, you know, preserve innocence, but yet, you know, the libraries are having books that are for children that are pornographic, and.
Tuttle Twins. If you guys aren't familiar with Tuttle Twins, anybody else familiar with them?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent material.
Well, there's some materials that are being developed, you know, for children that you can trust and all in response to this. All right, go on.
What do you find the percentage? I mean, I've heard that the percentage of transgender people within population is like less than 1%.
Now, the last figure I heard is that it may be like 0.5 to 0.6, you know, percent. But there's a social contagion in certain populations. For example, I think in Gen Z? I think the percent of Gen Z that identify in this queer gender fluid thing is 20%, you know, now. You know, too? For the overall population. The whole thing. Yes.
Trendy. Yeah. If you're not questioning your identity, then you're an outcast in a lot of respects. So I would venture to say a lot of kids now are questioning and exploring because that's the thing to do.
And it's being supported. And again, there has been, part of what has happened in the last 20 years is institutional captures. And there has been, I was in a counseling program at Texas Women's University, the secular, you know, program 30 years ago. And there was the push to be gay affirmative, even in counseling. But yet at that time, there were several gay students that I got to know that were in the program. One of them was a teacher, and at that time, he could not reveal, you know, what he wanted to reveal. Otherwise, he would not have been able to continue teaching. But that has totally changed. And now to, in some places, you know, to stand up against it, you risk being fired, you know, then. But we'll cut, my wife says, time out. So, you know, yeah. But thank you for your comments and coming. Yeah.